He sure does know everything going on in our life, doesn't he? Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Psalm 19, the 19th Psalm, which is one of my favorite Psalms. I have a hard time picking just one, but this certainly is one of them. And if you'll bear with me, I'd like to read all of the verses, because the last verse, verse 14, is my life verse, one that has meant something to me very dear over all these years. And so if you'll just bear with me, we'll read Psalm 19. So when you get there in your Bible, say amen. Probably an easy, fairly easy spot to find, almost the middle of your Bible. Psalm 19, beginning to read in verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. We can come to you in prayer and ask things. And Lord, we're so grateful that you answer our prayers and meet our needs in times when we need you so very, very special. And Lord, I pray in the moments we have together in this room that you, by your Holy Spirit, will do what I can't do. Get beyond the outside ear and speak to the hearts and minds of your people. There may be somebody here today, Lord, that's lost, that needs Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I pray that today, even now, would be the day of salvation. For some who are saved, Lord, they just need to get back on the right track. And I just pray that you'll help to point them in the right direction. Lead them as only you can. And Lord, speak to those who are trying to go forward in your will. They're trying to do the right thing and they're on the right track. They need encouragement and help from you. Speak to them and give them guidance and direction for what you may be doing in their life. And we'll be careful to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. You know, it's not often that you come to church and y'all've already heard a sermon. Matter of fact, most of you, if not every one of you, if you paid any attention at all, you heard a sermon every day this week. Going back to last Sunday, I finished preaching Sunday morning, and some of y'all actually came back Sunday night. We had a great time. But then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all of you had sermons preached to you just like I did. You see, if the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You might not have sat in a church in a sanctuary. You might not have heard a preacher open his Bible up and give you 3 points and a poem. You might not have heard a Sunday school lesson taught by a teacher. But every day this week, and truthfully every day of your life, God has been speaking to you. When you see the sunrise in the morning and the sunset in the evening, God is speaking to you. And it'd be a mistake to think this, well, God's trying to talk to somebody else. I've got this feeling, until we learn that God is trying to speak to us, we don't have any business talking about how he's trying to tell somebody else. Because I believe the Lord tries to speak to all of us. Now, he does speak. This psalm identifies 3 particular ways in which I think the Lord speaks. Number one, he speaks in the skies. I mean, you can't walk out and look and see all of nature, see the sun in the sky and the moon at night, and not realize somebody bigger than you and me put that up there. Somebody bigger than you and me hung the earth upon nothing. And whether you have all the things figured out about how the universe began, surely you realize this, you didn't start it. None of you lit a match and started a big bang anywhere along the way. There's an almighty God out there somewhere that got the whole ball rolling and did everything. Why did He make creation? He didn't just do it to be beautiful and to paint a wonderful sunrise and a sunset portrait every day. He did it because He's trying to speak to you. And He's trying to speak to me. Not a day goes by, according to these verses, the glory of God can be seen in the heavens and in the firmament. That means the sky and the heavens that hold the clouds and the stars and everything else. God's trying to speak to us. Day in and day utter speech, night and night. Every day goes by, every night that rolls around, as we see the sun come up and the sun go down. There's the bright day and then there's the darkness of night. It's almost as if He's showing us there's life and then there's death. There's the brightness of life and the darkness of death. We see trees get felled. We see grass get cut. We see piles of trash get burned. And all, I mean, I'm talking about just in nature itself, not man-made. And all these are lessons in the universe of creation that says, I'm trying to get your attention. When I think about that, I realize in looking at this, not only does God speak in the skies, but we read in verses, probably verse 7 and following down to about verse number 11, we read of how God speaks to us in the Scriptures. Would you look at the words? I have them underlined in my Bible because I want to recognize them the next time I'm there. The law of the Lord. Yes, God shows us something in nature, in the sky, but God speaks in the Scriptures. The law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord in verse 7. Verse 8 mentions the statutes of the Lord, the commandment of the Lord. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord and the judgments of the Lord. These are descriptive terms of the Word of God. God speaks in the skies. God speaks in the Scriptures. How else does God speak to us? Well, when I read these verses found down verse number 12 and following, especially when I get to verse number 14, the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, God speaks in the soul. Why does God speak in the sky? And why does God speak in the Scripture? And why does God speak in the soul? Because He's doing all of that. Now listen, here's the point of the message. If you don't get this, you miss everything. He's doing all that just to get your attention. Now some of you can remember growing up, maybe your mom or dad called you. May have had to call you two or three times, and they probably said something like this. Didn't you hear me the first time? How many of y'all have ever heard your mom and daddy say something like that? Of course, they probably said a little bit loud. Didn't you hear me the first time I called you? I better not have to come get you. I better not have to call your name three or four. I mean, if you had disciplinary-minded parents, maybe they got on to you for not listening the first time. I'm glad we got a loving God in heaven that doesn't get frustrated and mad and angry and quit talking to us because we didn't listen to Him the first time. But I've got to testify that I did not listen to God the first time He spoke to me. I would venture to say that probably God spoke to me for many, many years and I ignored Him. Part of it was I didn't realize it was Him. And then when I did realize it was Him, I didn't necessarily want to go His way. I had my own plans, my own schemes, my own dreams, my own will, if you would. But I had to realize this, God has something extra special. And sometimes God speaks. Would you agree with me that when the Lord speaks, we need to listen? When God says so, I don't care if He says something in nature or you read a verse in the Bible or whatever it may be, or you just heard some still, small voice down in the depths of your soul and the back of your mind, and you're like, I don't know who it is, but somebody is trying to just get my attention. And all of us that are parents know if our children would just listen to us, they'd make better decisions. If our grandchildren listen to us, they'd make better choices in life. And I believe with all of my heart that God's trying to get our attention. And listen to me carefully what I'm trying to say to you. I'll give you three quick ways I believe God tries just to get our attention. Number one, I think He tries to get our attention when our spirit is restless. There's an example in the Bible. You might not be familiar with it, but over in the book of Esther, it's a great story, a wonderful story. It's a book, as a matter of fact, that the name God does not even appear in all the chapters of the book. And yet at the same time, God is working and moving and speaking to His people and to different ones. As a matter of fact, in that book, a wicked man, not unlike a Hitler, came to a conclusion to try and eliminate and exterminate the Jewish people. He set the plan in motion and there was only maybe two people, Mordecai and his little niece or cousin, Esther, that could possibly stand in the way of this massive extermination of the Jews taking place. And in the middle of the night, the king of the land who was heathen, not a believer as we would consider, this man was not a Christian. But in the middle of the night, this king was made restless by dreams, made restless by being able to settle down at night and catch his breath and just rest through the night. It's as if God made him so restless, he could not settle down at night. And it made him think. And he got up in the middle of the night and did a little bit of research and found out about this wicked plan that was going on. And as a result of his restlessness, he began to listen to what God had to say. The long story short is, as a result of that, the Jewish people were spared. Now, I'm trying to say this much. Sometimes God wants to get our attention, and He does it by making us restless. Maybe some of you can remember a big decision you made of a spiritual nature, all because for many nights prior to making the decision, you were restless. You couldn't sleep. Things were on your mind. You didn't really understand all of them. What I'm trying to say is sometimes God lets those type of things happen in your life and mine just to get our attention. You can't quite identify it, but maybe you could do this. It's when maybe you're awakened at 2 in the morning, or you can't understand why you keep waking up at 4 in the morning when you don't have to get up to 6. Why in the world this keeps happening over and over and over and over again? Now, it might be you ate some bad pizza the night before. Now, if it's something like that, I can't help you. You know, if the clam chowder wasn't just right, you might need to get your diet fixed. You got Montezuma's revenge. Caleb, good to see you today. You got something like that, that's a completely different issue. God's just trying to talk to you then about change your diet. But I'm talking about all is well physically, as far as you know, all is well in most areas of your life, but you just can't rest. You can't sleep. Something is always, always on your mind. Every time you wake, be it late or early, middle of the night, whatever it may be, all you can think about is what is going on in my life. What is God trying to say to you? And I'm suggesting to you this morning that maybe God has made you restless because He's trying to speak to you. Now, what do? When you have that restless spirit, well, you pray and you ask God, what are you trying to say to me? You see, we live in a world where I think we'd rather other people tell us. We turn on the television, we expect the news to tell us how to think. We watch the sports and they're supposed to tell us who to cheer for. We come to church and the preacher's supposed to tell us who to follow. And you can always listen or you can ignore those messages. But the fact of the matter is, it might do us all good to just call a timeout on everything that's going on, turn the TV off, quit watching different things, and actually ask the Lord in a word of prayer, "Dear God, what are you trying to say to me? I can't rest. I can't get an answer. It seems like even sometimes when I'm praying, I'm not getting through." And this restlessness of spirit, this restlessness of soul, you can't pillow your head at night and be sure if you died in your sleep, you'd go to heaven. You're worried about winding up in hell. You're worried about making the wrong decision. Restlessness. Maybe God's trying to speak to you. I'm saying this, that just to get your attention, God may make you restless. God has spoken to many in different ways. The second thing I would give you is this, is sometimes God uses a spoken word to speak to you. Now, that's not just His word. Obviously, I think it's quite obvious to all of us that God speaks to us through His spoken word, the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. And you cannot ignore the Bible and expect God to get a message through to you. You should grab a Bible, get a hold of one. It don't matter if you've never read it in your life. Get a hold of a Bible and start reading through that King James Bible and begin at the first and read as far as you can. If you get stuck or bogged down or bored, flip over and read another section. Just dive into the Bible. Put your nose and face in it and say, "Lord, speak to me through your word." I believe He will. But I think sometimes God also uses the spoken word of other people. How many of us are the result of decisions we have made because somebody suggested it to us? Somebody said, "You ought to ask that girl out." And you did. Next thing you know, you got married. And now you're trapped for life. I'm sorry. Several of y'all are smiling at me like, "Yeah, that was me." Maybe you were thinking about a business decision. And you didn't know, "Man, I don't know what to do." And you prayed about it, you read your Bible, you know what to do. And then somebody came up, a friend, a family member or something, and they said, well, have you thought about this? He said, well, I ain't even thought about that. And not just, I don't just mean one person out of the blue, but I mean like five or six different people come up and seem like every one of them saying the same thing. And the funny thing is, none of them have talked to each other. And they all come up and say the same thing to you. You're restless at night. If the people you do talk to all seem to be saying the same thing, maybe God's trying to speak to you. My point is, my message is, He's doing all this just to get your attention. And if He gets your attention, then you'll ask Him. Then you'll go to Him instead of all the friends. But sometimes it might be a Sunday school teacher that says something and it just rings a bell. And then the preacher gets up and preaches. And then somebody else you hear, maybe you hear it on a sermon on the radio, maybe you read it in a book, maybe you just talk to a coworker. But somewhere in the process, it seems like every time you turn around, somebody's saying this and this and this, and they all seem to be connected. What's written that is? I think that's God just trying to get your attention. Now, sometimes that might be He's trying to encourage you to go in a certain direction. And sometimes that might be because He's trying to say, stop! You're going the wrong way. And sometimes in our stubbornness, hard-headedness, and rebellion, we're like, I'm going to do it anyhow. You know, come heck or high water, I'm going to do it. We need to be open and receptive to whatever God is speaking to us. Sometimes the warning can come. I mean, listen, if the preacher and the Sunday school teacher, the evangelist and the missionary, and everybody's ever given a word of testimony around you, all your friends and all your family said, you might not ought to do that. You might ought to think that. You might ought to consider that again. Maybe you ought to just sit down and write down the proof. I mean, it's constantly over and over. Somebody's saying, wait, stop, don't do that. Oh, slow down. Take that as a message. God is just trying to get your attention to keep you from making the wrong decision. Sometimes He'll lead you to make a decision. Sometimes that decision might be to hold up and wait a minute. God spoke to a young Samuel in the Bible. Just a young boy spoke to him. He wasn't really sure who it was, but he learned later that it was the voice of God speaking, and the Lord certainly directed Samuel in the right way. Later, an old man. God speaks to young and old. Ain't us old people glad? He spoke to an old man named Eli and tried to warn him about some things that were happening in the nation. I reckon you're familiar with the fact that when an angel visited Jacob and touched the hollow of his thigh and made him limp, he caused an injury. That injury that was caused, that confrontation with God and an injury that came to his body was just God trying to get Jacob's attention. And I reckon you're familiar in the Bible with a fellow named Jonah, who didn't listen to God the first time but ran in the opposite direction from where he was supposed to be going, and God sent a whale just to get his attention. And I reckon you're familiar with that, even a false prophet named Balaam in the Bible, and God sent a donkey to talk just to get his attention. And I reckon you know about Peter, who denied the Lord three times, and God sent a rooster just to get his attention. And a great vision happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. The brightness of the sun in the noonday, and all of a sudden that light that was brighter than the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ, blinded the man. And an incident occurred that affected him physically and spiritually, and it was all done just to get his attention. Let me ask you this morning, is God trying to say something to you either in a short span of time or a long span of time? And maybe, just maybe, He's just trying to get your attention. I can remember, oh my goodness, my wife and I were just dating. Happy years for her and I both. And before we had all the bills, you know, somebody else was paying the light bills. You know, you're living at home, somebody else paying the groceries, and all of a sudden people get married and they find out, hey, you got to pay them bills. Somebody with me on that? I can remember I left the Pepsi Cola plant. I was working at Pepsi Cola. I was working there as the plant manager. I mixed up the Pepsi and the Mountain Dew. We even did Dr. Pepper and 7-Up. I mean, I got to mix all these different flavors, you know, and bottle this stuff up. It was a bottling plant. And I remember going to have lunch with her one day. As I head back from lunch, school had dismissed early that day from the public school. And I remember seeing some of the buses on the road. They were stopping the traffic. I was hurrying. A good friend of mine, I passed him. He pulled out right behind me. And then I noticed several buses behind him. And up ahead of me, a bus had stopped, had its little stop sign out, and all the traffic was stopping behind him. And I pulled to a stop there. And of course, there's traffic in the other lane. And as soon as that little stop sign goes up beside the bus, that traffic's going to come. And I remember looking, it's like it was yesterday I can remember looking in the rearview mirror of my car, and I just threw my hand up to wave at my buddies behind me who were in a little, I don't know, maybe a 68 Camaro, so not very big car. And behind them, I can still see, if I just close my eyes, I can visualize it, the eyes and the face of the bus driver behind them who was coming up over the rise of the hill and didn't realize we were stopped in front, and just total fear. And the eyes were bugging out on that bus driver, and she slammed on brakes, but she was too close, and she rammed right into the back of my friend's car. He then hit mine. And I don't know if y'all have ever been in any kind of car accident like that, but it seems like things begin to happen in slow motion. At least it felt that way to me. And I remember holding on to the steering wheel, Brother Earl, and I glanced back like I was going to reach back there and stop the bus. You know, I was, stop! And it just felt like it was all in slow motion. Well, when the bus hit the car and then that car hit me, it pushed me forward, jostled me, and my arm came down while I was holding the steering wheel, which jerked me over into the other lane. You remember I told you there was a bus stopped in front. He had let his stop sign go. It was just pulling off, and traffic was coming from the other direction. And the first thing I saw was a tractor trailer rig, and my car was headed right under the back wheels. Man, I was Fred Flintstone. My feet went through the floor just about to try and stop my car from going any further. But I couldn't do it. And I'm trying to pull it the other way, and just from bruises, just panic in a situation like that. You do whatever you can. And for somehow or other, the Lord just directed that semi to just barely miss the front of my car. It would have rolled right over me and the car. Now, you can say what you want to say. You wasn't in the car with me. Let me tell you what I think the Lord was doing that day. He let that accident happen just to get my attention. Now, I was saved, but I wasn't living for God like I should. His will was not important to me as much as what I wanted at the time. And not only did He speak to me, but my two friends in the car behind me who were almost crushed to death, I'm sure He used that incident just to get their attention too. I bet you even the bus driver who saw that realized, I can't stop this big bus. I bet you God got their attention too. A whole bunch of us. And I've given that testimony many, many times across this land just to tell people, because God used that. And by the way, that ain't the only time God's done something in my life just to get my attention. Some of you sitting here right now have probably been through a very narrow escape with death. Maybe it's an automobile accident. Maybe it was some confrontation with somebody. Maybe it's through cancer or something. And you like to have died. How come you didn't? Because God kept you alive because He's just trying to get your attention. Now, He doesn't want to have to use extreme measures. He doesn't want to have to touch something dear in your life to get your attention. But sometimes when God wants to get your attention, He will do whatever's necessary, and we better listen whenever God is speaking to us. I think God speaks through our restless spirit. God speaks through His spoken word and the words of other people just to get our attention. I would venture to say also, thirdly, God speaks sometimes through unusual blessings. Yes, I do know that God does and allows tragic things to happen, and those things are used just to get our attention. But sometimes the Lord will bless you real good and make you think this. Now listen carefully. Listen to this. You ever thought this? I don't deserve this. Look how good God's been to me. You know the Bible says in Romans chapter number 2, it's not the judgment of God that leads people to repentance. The Bible says it's the goodness of God. When we stop and think about how good God has been to us, maybe we see other people with cancer and we ain't got it. We see other people go through financial woes and we're not. We see that somebody else's family and life just fall apart and ours is still together. It'd be a mistake to think all that's happened good to me because of me. I handle things right. I'm a smart businessman. I know how to operate. I know how to run my family. I am so full of myself and my pride, I can handle anything. You ain't listening to God. If you're just listening to God, you realize this. Every good thing that's ever come into your life is because God gave it to you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, no shadow of turning. Every good and perfect gift we have has come from God. I'm just trying to say this much. Sometimes God blesses you in an unusual way and makes you realize you are not self-sufficient. You did not pull yourselves up by your own bootstrap, but you need to stay alert and realize this, that the Lord's just trying to get you to put your focus on Him. Psalm 19, we've already read it. God speaks in the skies, He speaks in the Scriptures, He speaks in the soul. But He does all of it, whatever He's doing, to get our attention. And if He's got our attention, let's listen. And maybe He won't tell you exactly what He wants you to know the first time you start listening. Well, sometimes we can't handle everything at once. You got to take it in little bites. Listen to Him now, and He'll tell you more. Listen to Him again, He'll show you more. Listen to Him another time, and He'll give you guidance. It's just being willing. Lord, I hear You. You have my attention. You ain't got nothing else got to happen in my life, good or bad. Nothing else got to happen to anybody in my family. Lord, You ain't got to do anything drastic to get my attention. You got it. You got it. And I will listen to You, whatever You want to say to me. And Lord, help me not just listen the first time, but the second time, third time, fourth time, etc. I'm saying this much. Our Father in heaven knows exactly where you are today. He knows what you're going through. He knows your situation. He knows exactly how to get your attention in ways that might not work on me, but they'd work on you. And if He's got your attention, I suggest that at whatever method He's using, listen to Him today. Think about verse 14. I'm going to read it to you again and quote it to you, and you can read it. Let the words of my mouth. Wouldn't this be a good response if God's speaking to you? Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Now that can't be true for you if He's not your Redeemer, if He's not your Savior. But if He's your Savior and He's your Lord, He's speaking to you. God, help me that whatever I say and whatever I think and feel on the inside, I want it to be pleasing and acceptable to You. And by the way, I would suggest you realize this too. Not only has God been speaking to us, He is speaking to us, and He's going to continue to speak. And whatever you're praying about, looking for guidance in, I believe that the Lord will show you, and He will use ways just to get your attention. Let's stand together. Father, thank You today for Your Word, for just a few thoughts from it to challenge our hearts today, and in ways that You try to get our attention. Lord, I pray for some in this room that may be experiencing a restless spirit. They just can't seem to find peace in their heart and mind. You're trying to speak to them. For those, Lord, that Your Word and others that are speaking into their life, God, help them to see what You're trying to say. And then, Lord, I pray that You'd help us to realize that so many blessings that You put in our life are just ways in which, if nothing else, You're trying to say that You love us. And You want to guide us in the right way, and You want to make sure that our will coincides with Your will. Bless, and Lord, I pray in this service that You'd save the lost, reclaim the backslider. Help us, Lord, to not have to have anything drastic have to happen for You to get our attention. Help us to listen to You today, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Heads are back.